Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is a rebroadcast of The Brian Lehrer Show, so we won't be taking any calls. Now, you just heard our segment on memories from Yankee Stadium, our way of saying farewell at the end of the Yankees' final season in the house that Ruth built as we moved to the house that Hal built. But that wasn't the only baseball goodbye in 2008. The Mets are also moving into a new home, and we asked you to call us with stories of good times at Shea Stadium, and you did not disappoint. Enjoy listening, and you can still post your own Yankee and Shea Stadium farewell stories on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.
Meet the Mets, step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife.
Leonard Bernstein didn't write that one, did he? I don't think so. Let's take a break from the real world for a few minutes. You deserve it. Let's have a call-in for Mets fans. We did this last week before the last game at Yankee Stadium. This Sunday will be the last regular season game at Shea, and I stress regular season, because the Mets will make the playoffs. And just as we ask for your memories of Yankee Stadium, we now invite your memories of Shea. Call us right now, 212-433-WNYC. We'll do this for about 10 minutes, or post them to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We've set up a page for this for Mets fans to go and have some fun with each other. And no, there haven't been 26 world champions at Shea over 85 years, but there have been two thrilling world championships over 44 years. And while people love to hate Shea Stadium, I've always found it very homey. Everything about the Mets is a little less corporate and a little more friendly, win or lose, than the Yankees. And it's kind of nice. They have games for the kids out front before you go in. I've taken my kids to what they call Dynamets Dash Day, where after a Sunday home game, kids can actually go on the field and run the bases from first all the way around to home. The Yankees made such a big thing about letting fans on the field last Sunday before the final game. Oh, the hallowed blades of grass. The Mets used to do it every other Sunday. And I always liked Shea Stadium. I used to go to the upper deck for $1.50 as a kid, when it was all general admission, no reserved seats up there. If you were willing to arrive at 11 in the morning, as I sometimes did as a teenager, you could sit in the eighth row center of the upper deck. I even worked as a vendor there in high school for Jets football games, and I was the world's worst vendor, if you want to know. I wasn't old enough to sell beer when I did it, so they usually stuck me with hot chocolate or souvenirs. If it was too warm for hot chocolate, I didn't make any money. If it was cold enough for hot chocolate, my fingers would freeze trying to sell it, and I was miserable. And the souvenirs, Jets pennants, is all I remember about it. Three words, nobody bought them. But I will miss Shea Stadium, which was part of my childhood growing up in Queens. So listeners, call in now with your memories of Shea before it shuts down and goes the way of the wrecking ball and becomes another parking lot. 212-433-WNYC. And Dennis in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Brian. On October 17th, 99, I was at the NLCS game in the rain in the 15th inning when Robin Ventura hit his Grand Slam walk-off home run. I was right behind
you. You mean the Grand Slam single?
The Grand Slam single, that's right. He was mobbed by his teammates halfway around the bases. But I was right behind behind the visitor's dugout. And the following morning, on my way to work, I see the cover of the New York Times, and I realize, hey, I may be in this picture. And sure enough, my hand elevated in sort of delight is there. And right underneath that is Musharraf's coup taking over Pakistan that same day.
Great. Immortalized. I hope you saved the paper. What the heck? I actually met my wife at Shea Stadium. It was a blind date set up by a mutual friend of ours. We all went to the game together. And the rest is history. Dave in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
I've been going to Shea Stadium since 1965. In 1966, I saw Sandy Koufax hit a double, which is quite a remarkable thing. I was at the game where Tom Seaver, his first game as a Cincinnati Red against the Mets, against anybody, in I guess it was 1977, and I saw his return on opening day in 1983 when he came out of the right field bullpen. They had announced the entire Mets starting lineup, and the announcer simply said, and batting ninth the pitcher, number 41. He came out of the bullpen and just started walking around, walking towards the plate along the stands, and the may have been the original wave, because as everyone realized who he was on the field, the entire stadium just rose in homage to the franchise.
And to Sandy Koufax, as a representative of the old Brooklyn Dodgers.
Well, as I say, seeing Koufax hit a double is seeing Koufax strike someone out is what he's supposed to do.
Right.
Having him hit a double is that is unheard of.
All right, thank you very much. Little before my time, Koufax really, but he I didn't know he wore number 41, same as the greatest Mets pitcher, Tom Seaver. Barbara in Atlantic Highlands, you're on WNYC. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, good morning, Brian. My husband and I had our first date at Shea Stadium on May 4th, 1988. So the Astros play the Mets. Mets won. I stole his heart that night by letting him know that I knew the trivia answer, who was Yogi Berra, then working for the Astros. And this coming Sunday, we are going to our last Met game at Shea. We're both from Bayside originally, so this is, you know, a historical thing. And we have actually purchased the two seats that we have season's tickets for.
See, there's the difference between the Mets and the Yankees, too. The Mets are selling those seats for a fixed price. What is it?
We have $800, including delivery.
The Yankees are auctioning theirs.
So
there it all is. Barbara, thank you. And Stuart in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stuart.
Hi. The company that my dad worked for bought a box when Shea Stadium opened up, and it was about 10 rows behind home plate. And, of course, none of his clients wanted to go because the Mets were terrible. So we ended up taking the bus from Southeast Queens all the way into Jamaica, taking two subways to Shea Stadium, saw a ton of games. And you were talking about the $1.50 price. I remember there were times where we collected milk caps from the insert from a milk bottle. If you had 10 of those, you could get into the upper decks for free. But let's not forget the concerts. I went to this concert for peace. I think it was 1970 with Janis Joplin, Creedence Clearwater, the James Gang. This was an entire, like, 12 hours long.
Wow.
It was amazing.
And, of course, the Beatles so famously played Shea.
Which, of course, my dad's company did not buy tickets for because he said none of my clients want to see the Beatles.
Thanks for your call. Oops, Dad. And Dallas in Manhattan's going to get our last half minute or so. Hi, Dallas.
Hi, thanks for having me on. It was back in 77. I guess I was either 8 or 9. I was actually in Shea Stadium when the lights went out for the big blackout. And it was pretty intense. I mean, the whole place just went dark, and everything was ordered. There was no problems. Everyone just filed out calmly, but the air was definitely charged with tension. And fortunately, living in Flushing, we just walked home that night. But it was pretty a strong memory.
Wow, the blackout at Shea. Didn't realize they were playing at home. I guess so. Yeah, it was in July, so it would have been baseball season. Thanks to all of you who called to remember Shea Stadium, which will be no more when they turn it into City Field next year. That, of course, is if there's a Citibank anymore. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.